Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
阅读、科技、旅行，生活可以很大。对话设计、学习、思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。Hello， 你好，欢迎收听独立知识型脱口秀《狗熊有话说》（Bear Talk）， 我是大狗熊，又是一期。用英文进行访谈的节目，但是呢，我们这期节目受访者和采访者都是地道的中国人，可能大家会觉得哇，干嘛呀，两个中国人非得在这儿说英文？但因为我要采访这位嘉宾呢，他自己现在在做的生意和事业呢，是面向全球的所有的不同国家的这个客户啊，那么他自己的客户也都在基本。大部分都是这个 international 了，已经是这个国际化的，而且他本人的这个英文表达非常的地道，所以我就在想，哎，那么要不我们还是以英文为主进行这个采访，也许会更有意思一点啊。那么感到抱歉啊，那么可能用户体验对于中文的。听众的用户体验会差一点，但我还是一样在这期节目的开头呢做一下介绍。这位今天来访的嘉宾呢叫做 Chao Chen、那么他其实是我在奥克兰就、经常见面，私下关系也很好的一位好朋友、他本人呢是、人生教练、Life Coach，这个是他的职业，听起来是不是很酷？那么之前他其实个人经历更酷。那么之前在国内有在华为、工作，然后呢后面来到新西兰，又入职新西兰的一家非常这个不得了的这个政府智库机构啊，我忘了名字了啊，反正就是一家非常厉害的。然后呢工作完了一段时间呢又自己出来，然后呢觉得。coach 这个职业特别有意思，于是开始研究 coach。顺便说一下，他在生活中还这个患过两次癌症，但都先后战胜了，所以个人的经历非常不简单。他也是一个冥想的 ，Alexa stop， 他也是一个冥想的资深爱好者，所以 Chao 呢在这期节目里面呢分享了一些在数字游民 Digital Nomad 还有 Coaching 这些方面的一些个人的经验心得和一些技巧啊。那么就我自己来说，我学习到的这个深度聆听这个技巧就来自 Coach 教练的这种职业素养中的其中一环，非常的对我个人的这个日常工作和生活呢有帮助啊，也建议大家有机会的话请继续收听接下来的节目。好的，那么这就是这一期关于和 Chao Chen 连线聊关于这个数字游民和人生教练的一些内容，感兴趣的朋友请继续收听。Hello everyone, welcome to Bear Academy and Bear Talk.The podcast about technology, product, and design. Speaking of design, if we take it as a larger scope, a high-level design, it's not only about the design stuffs, but also about design our life and have a better ways of living. That's why we have today's guest, Chao, who will introduce how she started her career as a design life coach and also how to live a life as a digital nomad. This could be a really challenging conversation because Chao and I are good friends while she was in Auckland, and we met
a lot of times. And so we might not control ourselves without laughing too much. So yeah, just be ready for that. But before that, let's welcome the guest for today, Chao. And I have a little bit of introduction on you. Like you are ICF registered life coach with 600 plus coaching hours, CMW, Catalyst. Yeah, and digital nomad, and also music and yoga, food lover, a lot of things. But before that, maybe just a simple question to start the conversation in an easy way. So for the last 12 months, which are the cities that you've lived in, like from the last 12 months?
That's such a great question. If we're counting back to, if we're counting back 12 months, then I was in Auckland and now I'm traveling and working in China. So I actually came back to China on January 2022, or like actually last year, December 2021. Yeah, but you know, you've got 21 days of quarantine and then you could be out. So it's about half years in Auckland and half years in China now.
Yep. So yeah, the reason I'm asking this question is because it's like this is during two cities, right? Or two different cultures. So that's really I'm very curious about how do you find this this experience so far, and maybe and also a little bit about yourself. Maybe could you do a quick introduction about who you are and what you're doing, things like that. Yep.
Sure. Thank you. First of all, I would like to say a great thanks to Bear for inviting me to the podcast, for having this podcast today. I know Bear is a great guy, and we, as you mentioned, we have met a couple of times in Auckland. I even went to your places for a hot pot, hogo.
Yeah.
A few times. Love it. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I know that there are a lot of people who are listening to this podcast. Probably we're like, you know, like-minded people or people with a similar frequency who are following this channel. So it's my great honor, really. I'm really thrilled to be on this channel and be able to chat a bit about me, about you, and about my current life. So great privilege. Thank you very much. A quick introduction about myself. Well, you know, I'm Chao, and I actually don't know. It's a bit hard. I think I am a possibility provider. I enjoy providing, you know, possibilities to people, to my clients, to my friends, to my family. And I'm also a CMW catalyst, which means I help people to create meaningful work in life. By doing that, I am a ICF registered life coach. Because you need certain technique and certain training to be able to do that job well. Also I'm a meditator. I really enjoy meditating, great food, great music. And I was a cancer survivor. I guess that's enough about me, just in a nutshell.
Well, the final point is really impressive, but let's keep the topic later for details.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of starting as a career coach, or I really like your description about yourself, like a possibility provider.
Provider.
So that's a great point. How did you find this, to describe yourself, like at the very beginning?
I think, you know, when my clients, they came to me, usually they feel like somewhere stuck or somewhere not fitting right in their life. And most of the time it's about perspectives. And when they are stuck in certain perspective, they feel like, oh, you know, I have no way out. I'm feeling stuck. But actually by gently shifting the perspective or awakening their own awareness, it's actually opening up the whole world, a whole different world and whole different perspectives for them. Or they actually found those possibilities by themselves. We don't provide much suggestions or advice in our service. So after that, they will feel like, oh, okay, life doesn't have to be that way, or I don't have to think in that way. There are much more possibilities than where I'm stuck in right now. So I think, you know, from there, I got inspired from my clients about, oh, okay, actually, I think I'm a possibility provider. I'm a possibility provider who can help people to find more possibilities in their life.
Yeah, I really like this definition of what you're doing, because, I mean, for a lot of people might have this assumption, like as a coach, it's just to give people directions or even like suggestions.
Life mentor.
Yeah, life mentor, or like this is the way you're going to that way and things like that.
Nah.
But it sounds like you're providing like enable their way to enable the possibilities from what they are currently have, but they haven't realized. Is that something different between a coach or a teacher or like a boss or
a mentor?
Yeah.
Counselor. Psychologist. Whoever you name it. Yes, I must say there's a strong distinction between consultants and coaches. Not saying that which one's better or which one's worse. It's just saying that they have different roles under different circumstances. Sometimes you do need a consultant. You do need a mentor to actually give you some tips or some guidance about where to go in your life or what to do about this certain subject. But as a coach, I really love how you describe it. I think that was pretty accurate. It's about enabling people, actually awakening the power that's already within them to make them realize or have that self-awareness rather than telling them what to do. Because we believe, you know, our clients are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And meanwhile, we also believe that they are the expert of their life. What kind of resources they can find, who can help them, how much money they've got. They know the answers. We don't.
Yeah.
So what we can do is actually to enable them and by asking powerful questions, by reflecting about what they said, by summarizing, by challenging, by championing. You know, we use a lot of different techniques and tools in our coaching sessions to, just really help them explore themselves, have more self-awareness. Once they become aware how they think and why they are thinking in a certain way, then there becomes a space where they can make conscious choices for themselves.
Hmm. Is it like would take it longer than just giving an answer for those people? So is there any struggle that people say, oh, I just come to you to find an answer? it's something like that.
Usually would not these days.
Okay.
Because I've been doing this for over 3 years now, so I have a pretty robust onboarding process. So nice. Also in my daily communication, in my daily marketing or my daily articles, I do kind of, you know, let people know or set expectations about what coaching is and what coaching is not. So initially, before the client come and talk to me, I'll usually send them a short introduction about what coaching is and what coaching is not. And then I usually offer a 30 minutes free chat with each client, potential client, so we can kind of do that chemistry check and connect and understand about the topic and the expectations of the client.
Yeah.
During those 30 minutes chat, I'll directly tell them, like, this is not an advice giving session. It's more about enabling yourself, blah, 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 what we just talked about. And then later on, once the client say, okay, no problem, let's sign the contract. In the contract, I will emphasize that again. So it's like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, a lot of steps to filter out those.
Yeah, keep emphasizing, keep educating about that piece of information that coaching is not about advice giving, and it's not about chicken, like what we call it, xingling jitang, like hard chicken soup.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And also, and it's we won't tell you what to do. So yeah, it's a constant, continuous education process.
Yeah, because I think for many people might have some similar first impression, like myself at first, like a few years ago when I hear, I had a coach for doing something, and I'm just thinking, oh, it sounds like a specialist providing suggestions and guidance or things like that. But it seems much deeper or different from that.
It's different.
Thanks for clarifying that. That's really helpful for
no problem
for many people. And
no worries. I was thinking the same as well at the beginning. Oh, life coach is like a life mentor. Is she or he gonna tell me what to do about my life?
Yeah, and
it's quite normal.
Because it's also the titles sounds a little blurry, like some arbitrary that you find what does it do, or like but that's a really good starting point for this discussion. And
honestly speaking, even I've explained a few times about what life coaching is, I will still say it's quite difficult to be explained. Usually I will tell my clients to actually just give it a try, and you will know, you will feel it, because it looks very similar to like counseling or to other type of consulting services, but the energy and the way of the type of conversations could be very different, and in our service, and we could be very, very creative, and we use a lot of embodiment experience in coaching. Like, I don't know about other coaches, but for me, embodiment is a big part of it. And that's probably rarely being seen in other, for example, like consulting. You won't see a consultant tell you, hey, let's get up and dance for a little bit, you know? That's quite rare, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a 21st century's problem for many people to describe their job to the elders or to other people, like, what do we do? And same problem happened on me as explaining what a product designer is, what a UX designer. But that's another story. Yeah, let's focus on yours.
Yeah.
And I think you're not natural born as a coach. So how did it started? Like, what was the first step, and what is this whole journey like from the very beginning?
I would say, when you say I'm not a natural born coach, I would say yes and no, to a certain
extent.
That's
a really good point. Yeah. I'm curious.
I remember when I was a little girl, I always had so many questions, you know, 十万个为什么.
Yeah.
So, my father used to be really speechless with me, and he said, oh, why you have so many whys? But naturally, I enjoy asking questions. I was just naturally curious about people, about things. And then when I was working, I used to work in one of the polytechnics in New Zealand. I was in their international office. And then there were quite a few international students. They would actually come to me and started to seek life advice and job hunting tips and stuff like that. And I didn't even know why. It's just naturally people will see something in me and they will come to me. So I was offering some services or some free advice and tips and help them to like correct their CVs and then look at their job hunting journey or cover letters and stuff like that. So that was already a big hint, like, for me to, when I look back, I realized that, okay, so other people saw something in me that I was not able to see in myself at that time. And then, but at that time, I didn't know about coaching. So I was doing a lot of consulting, advice giving, and I feel burned out pretty quickly because those students are from different industries, from IT to construction to marketing to everything. I can't be the expert of every single industry.
Yep.
And then I feel really exhausted. So I stopped for a while. And then I was working for New Zealand government, one of their agencies. And then from there, I happen to know someone who's doing coaching. I feel like, you know, sometimes when you know a job title, when you know a certain particular industry, a job, it's like dating someone you feel so right. The moment I heard about coaching, I was like, ooh, what is that? Yeah, it sounds so sexy. It sounds so interesting. And then naturally, I was just curious about that. And I started researching and getting to know it a bit more. And then I hired a coach to coach myself to really experience that. What is it? You know? And then I feel like, wow, that was really powerful. And indeed, she did not give me much advice or whatsoever. And I was able to turn my head around. And I was going through a very difficult, challenging time in my life at that time. You probably knew it. But with coaching, I was able to, you know, handle that in a relatively smooth way because there was so much changes going on, and emotional roller coasters time. But luckily, you know, with coaching, with meditation, I was able to cope. And from there, then I started signed up some, you know, cheap or even some free courses, get to know coaching. Initially, I didn't design or plan anything. I was just feel like, oh, this is cool. I want to learn it to help myself. That was it. And also I hired a coach to help myself. So I feel like, oh, this is really helpful. But the more you learn it, the more I feel like, wow, this is really cool. I wish that other people could know this. I wish other people can know, you know, there's such a way to communicate so effectively and in such an enabling way as well. And it could be so efficient.
Yep.
And then I decided to actually, you know, went for that kind of professional, you know, coaching way. And then I signed up another course and then another course and another course, which led me to, you know, step by step towards the ICF credential pathways and certifications and registrations and everything. So I think it happened kind of naturally. I was really just following the hint and the feeling in my heart. And eventually, yeah, I got where I am.
Yeah, it sounds like an exploration or discovery journey. Like at first, you didn't see it, but people are reaching out to find suggestion or support because they see something from you.
Yes.
That's great because that's already see the potential. But later you find it's a great way to enable yourself first, and then you can explore how the future possibilities for yourself can be. And also like now you're helping other people by doing coach. So that's really, really awesome. And I think this is could be something quite similar for other types of the jobs or for exploring other domains, other parts. So for you, it sounds like coaching at first, it's just something as a
hobby, really
hobby and also like have a lot of interest, but now it's become your career. So it's and how do you find so far like this as your career, and what do you have any like what currently what you are working at as a as a career coach, as a life coach, and then what's the are there any future plans, like if you can share a little bit?
Oh, thanks. And I found that I really enjoy my life right now. As you explained, I am living a digital nomad lifestyle right now. Currently, I'm in Fujian, but I'm heading to Shenzhen soon, then later on Dali, and maybe Sichuan. You know, I don't know where I'm going to be. Usually, this week, I don't know where I'm going to be next week. It's really intuitive, and it's quite impromptu, my life schedule these days. So to answer your question, in a nutshell, no, I don't have much plans, but the plans will always show up when it has to show up.
Yep.
And I just follow them. And currently, yes, I'm working as a life coach. Most of my clients come to me, want to discuss or explore their life purpose, their career journey, their life path, where they want to live, what kind of life they want to design. And also sometimes intimate relationships or like in general, like relationship problems or issues they have in life. So that's currently the main topics that I'm coaching on. How do I find it? I find it really rewarding and humbling. You know, I often say, this might sound a bit arrogant, but I often say that I feel like I must have done a lot of good things in my previous life so I can deserve this type of job in my current life.
Feel blessed.
Yes, absolutely. Because I feel like, you know, coaching has completely changed my life. My life could be split into two parts. One is when I didn't know coaching, and the other part is after I know coaching. And when you are actually talking to the clients, because the clients are so smart and they are so resourceful and creative, sometimes you feel like the problems they bring to you, I also don't have an answer for that. I actually don't know either. But when you are talking to them and exploring, and they suddenly come up with some really classic, smart, wise solutions or way of looking at things. And I, as a coach, I feel so inspired by that as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, damn, like, she's good. And then that actually solved my life problem as well.
And they pay for you.
Exactly. So,
how good
it is. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I know. What kind of job? What else you can ask for? Like, you talk to people and they solve your problem and they pay you.
Sounds like a job that everyone wants. That's great. Yep.
Well, yeah, if you find it suitable for you, so absolutely. So currently I'm holding sessions 100% online, but I do plan to run some offline workshops or some offline activities or like group coaching, or I'm planning on creating meaningful life. I'm working on creating meaningful work, offline workshops in Yunnan.
Oh,
nice. Hopefully, yeah, we can start the first one within this year. That's what I'm currently working on. I don't plan for things these days very much. This workshop came up because I attended this workshop and I feel like it so resonates with me. And when I look back to my last, 3 years of my career life, it was pretty much quite spot on and following the principles on creating meaningful life, CMW. So I feel like that's a really practical, hands-on workshop, and also makes sense to me. And also it was a true reflection of my previous years. So I believe that that could really bring values to people when people feel puzzled or when they have confusions about their career choices or even their life choices. So this workshop could provide a great opportunity for them to... Can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear.
Yeah, so I feel like this is a great, great workshop to help them to provide spaces for them to really think about the things that they don't think often in their daily life. So, yeah, that's currently what I'm working on. But long-term-wise, I feel like I'm probably going to keep working on my coaching career because I really enjoyed it. And plus, I'm going to just explore a bit more because currently I'm learning something else just for fun, just for leisure. But we will see where life takes me to. And... just like how I started coaching, it was a hobby, a leisure, but now it's my job.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I look forward to whatever possibilities that life will brings me to, and I'll follow my heart, basically.
That's awesome. There are two things you mentioned earlier I want to dig in. One thing is digital nomad lifestyle, but that's another topic. We'll jump in soon. The one that you mentioned, that most of your coaching sessions currently is online, and some of them you're planning to do an offline events or offline activities.
Workshops.
Yeah, how do you find this, the balance of these two types of the formats, and any challenges of talking to your clients 100% online, and or like what's your any takeaways or any learning that you've got?
I feel like many people will feel a bit hesitant or reluctant to have coaching sessions online, especially when I first started my coaching business. Most of my clients wanted to be offline, and so I did quite a few offline in Auckland when I was there. But you know what, like COVID hits us. Everything has to be online. And then later on, I think my clients, they got used to it. And then initially I was also a bit worried, like, oh, would it be different from offline and blah, blah, things like that. But later on, I realized that if the clients and the coach, they have like mutual trust, even online, we can create a lot of different experiences. The embodiment experience I was just talking about. Now I can actually dance or sing or, do yoga with my clients with Zoom or with Tencent meetings, whatever, online. And we are still able to create that atmosphere and that trust and the energy co-creating that in that space, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And I have some clients who will not show up their face. They will always turn the camera off. Like, I never know what they look like until today. They only want to do like voice call.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they found the coaching sessions beneficial for them and they kept coming back to me. So I believe there must be something beneficial, good for them, that they are willing to keep trying on this format. So I don't know, for me, I don't find it very different, but I think if it's workshop, that's going to be quite different because you got like peer support and the energy flowing.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I've done online, offline. I feel like it's there are certain differences, but for coaching sessions, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Maybe there are some certain differences, but with whatever we have right now, we have to, you know, use the best of it, which is online.
I'm so curious. Could you share a tip that to help building the trust with the people that you cannot see their face? Like, are there any tips or any ways that you might do for the better communication?
Yeah, so for that particular topic, I must say I feel really grateful and really humble for my for having great clients. When they come to me, they usually have stalked me or they have observed me for quite a long while. They probably have watched my videos, they have, you know, came to my events and they have read my articles or whatever, you know, they've known me for a while.
Yeah.
So once
so they
come
observed
to me and,
you and
yeah,
they don't
they
show
already
their
trusted
face.
Me.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry, I'm just
they already trusted me in a certain way. So once they are willing to pay and become my official clients, they are usually somehow open to me and willing to explore with me. So that initial stage has already been done. And when we are in the session, if they don't turn on the camera, or sometimes they don't even want to see my face, so we'll use like just a voice call. It's really interesting to observe myself how conscious I could be when I don't see the client's face, like because my focus would be 100% on ears, right?
Yeah.
So from there, if I close my eyes and I'm talking and listening to the clients, I'm able to capture a lot of the energies or a lot of the signals. The tone of the voice and things like that, which could be easily neglected in the normal coaching sessions, like, you know, Zoom or like video call face to face. That's one thing. So once you close your eyes, your ears become sharper. And another thing is, since these days I'm doing pretty much 100% online coaching sessions, I also observe the clients initially. You know, once you have their WeChat or you have their social media or whatever, you browse their social media, you look at their signature, you look at their picture, you know, those places could tell you a lot of information as well. What's the energy like about this client? You know, what does the client like to talk about on the social media? And what's their photo? What does their photo look like? So that could also give me some signals and hints. And like, we of course, we have 30 minutes free chat. That's also where I gather a lot of information, data about our clients and finding, or sometimes we call it like design alliances. We design alliances with the clients initially to understand what they're after, what's the expectation of our service, and what's the best way for me to support them. What do they want me to do more or less, that type of thing. And that's not only initially, it's throughout the whole coaching session. It's a co-creating process. I always encourage them to tell me what they need. That's also part of the enabling process.
I love it. I as a designer, I really have some resonate about the two things you mentioned, like observation and it's more about to collect data from available channels, and also the things about hearing or about listening, that's really good because that's kind of like an active listening in a
deep listening.
In a really deep way to really capture those cues that was missed during the video chat. Like it was so easy, like the background or other things, or a little kid is walking behind you and then yeah, those are the interruptions about the conversation. But
yeah,
maybe capture, just really focus on the things they say, and capture those information, those information speaked out, or and also those information haven't been speak out. So that's
yeah, absolutely. So yeah. In professional coaching, we say we have like three levels of listening, like level one, level two, level three. Level one is a shallow thing, it's a like it's a first level, and level three is like a deep listening level. So at level three, we're not only listening about the client's energy or, you know, their emotions and whatever behind. We are also observing the chemistry, the atmosphere between us, between the clients, between this field, between the space. What's going on here? You know, the whole space. For level one, we are talking to, that's what we mostly do in our daily lives. We talk to defend. We don't talk to, we listen to defend. We don't listen to understand. That's called level one listening. And level two, it's better. It's about understanding, trying to feel the energy and emotions behind the words. And level three, it's deeper. Sometimes it's unspoken, body language or like the whole energy flowing between that space. So yeah, we are trained in different types of listening. So that I found that level two and level three is really helpful when I'm doing like video call, like non-video, like voice calls with my clients.
Yeah, well, haven't know that three levels of listening. And sounds like a superpower from some action heroes.
No,
like, number one,
actually,
let's do it.
We all have it. We all have it. We all have ability to listen at level two and level three. Mm. If we're really calm, if we're really quiet, we can really hear a lot of things.
Mm. Yeah. That's a great tip. Thanks for sharing. I love it and highly recommend that. Myself will try it sometimes, just close my eyes for the video meetings, and maybe I'll just try when other people notice me.
Experience that.
Cool. And the other thing is about digital nomad, because like you already mentioned that you live on the, maybe just your business is all in your suitcase, like a laptop and some document, and all the files are somewhere else
online.
And also you don't limited by specific cities, so how's that happen at first? Like
because COVID
right? That's an enabler for you.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I've always wanted to set up the... When I set up my coaching business initially, I was wanting to set up the business where which you could allow me to travel and work.
Mm.
And I even talked to my coach about that initially. I was like, I really have a dream. I wanna set up business where which can allows me to work and travel. Yeah. And then the coach said, of course, you know, you can certainly do that. She was encouraging me. And then I set up my coaching business. But at that time, most of the people will not accept online coaching. They would like to do offline.
Yeah.
So really, I have to thank COVID in that sense. So kind of forced everyone and educated everyone on how to use Zoom, how to do online sessions, as well as myself. And so I did not really design this to happen. I wanted to happen, but initially it wasn't really working. But later on, once COVID hits us, and then naturally it shifted online. And when all of my clients shifted online, I had a realization. I was like, oh, okay. Now I can actually go to anywhere I want. Oh my God, this happened. My dream became true.
Do you still remember when it was happening, like that moment? And is there any like aha moment that you realized this?
I think when my last client, when I finished my last offline coaching client, there was one client who was really wanting to do offline. She refuses to do online, even with COVID. She said, we can wait after COVID. So once I finished that client, and then I realized, oh, all my clients are online right now. Woohoo! Wow. I have that freedom to go to whatever I want to right now. Gosh. Then you have the capacity to start planning, like, oh, okay, cool. Then what's next? Where do I want to go? And I haven't been back to China for about, 8 years. And I was like, oh, I really want to explore China a bit more.
Mm.
And then, things happen. Then I just moved back.
Yeah. How do you manage the work and life while your clients, I guess, most of them probably live out of China, or some of them living in another time zone. So like that. Is there
I've got clients from Italy, from Netherlands, from Singapore, from UK, from China, from Malaysia.
International business. Well done.
Funny, when I first started my coaching business, about a year in, I think, I was really kind of having a lot of self-doubt and struggling and really thinking, should I quit this or should I not, that type of thing. And I went to a tarot reader, and she told me, she said, oh, whatever you're doing right now, you're gonna do it really well. And this is going to be an international business, whatever you're doing. And I was like...
Now
really? What? Yeah. Now you're talking about that. It suddenly reminds me of the conversation with the tarot reader.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes, I do need to work with a different time zones. Luckily, I get up pretty early, so I'm able to get up like 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, which is not a challenge for me. Probably because I'm getting old, but just joking.
Speaking of old. Yeah.
Oh yeah, who am I talking?
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Not stop at this point.
So I have like UK clients where they are willing to work late. I have clients who are really, I usually ask them, what's your most awakened time, like where you are able to think clearly or able to have like critical conversations. And the UK clients say, oh, in the midnight, 1 to 2 a.m. I was like, okay, right. And that's about 7, 8 a.m. in China. And that works perfectly for
me. Perfect timing for you. Yeah,
exactly. So I just usually work with them about the time zone. When you say, how do I balance? I think our body has a lot of wisdom. So I tend to lean to my body and listen to my body quite a lot more these days, because if the body is kind of feeling struggling or like tired or whatever, then I usually will not push myself too much. So I don't know, how do I balance? I don't really balance. I don't really plan these days. I just go day by day, and you have clients scheduling time slots, and then you have you can kind of cut the time out to design workshops or to do a bit of future thinking, but most of the time I feel like having fun and be happy in life is also really important. Even I'm a coach, but I wouldn't really think. I wouldn't only live for coaching, if you know what I mean. Like coaching is a part of my life.
Yep.
And as Chow, I have a lot more to offer to this world than coaching. And I also need to have fun, have some great time with myself. Need to look after ourselves well, so I can look after my clients and the rest of my life. So I think that self-care is really, really important. So how do I balance? In a nutshell, when I listen to my body, so it's quite impromptu. Like if I feel tired, I stop working. If I feel my eyes are sore, I go out and have a walk and look at the mountain, look at the sea. If I feel like, it's about time to design workshop, like my body knows, it's just naturally. Once I start collaborating or listening to my body more, my body can always give me the answer. So I just follow it. Yeah, but of course, when there are some deadlines and stuff like that, sometimes I always plan ahead and schedule the time back and plan time to do whatever I need to do and to meet the deadline. But usually, time management or energy management is not such a big topic that I need to work on these days. I have some other topics to work on, but not this one at the moment.
That's awesome, because I think what I've learned is that you're not only listen carefully with your client, but also to yourself, like to listen to your body. using deep listening as a technique.
Great summarizing. Great summarizing.
To learn yourself and also go not ad hoc, but more like go with the flow.
So that
not planning too much, which I think is really helpful for who's listening, because this podcast is like many audience who's listening to this podcast are more like tech geek or people really want some certainties or improve our productivity or just to have a better plan. But something cannot be planned. And that is also something I'm learning right now, is to go with the flow and design a better way and trust the system so that and then you don't need to plan everything, and then just have a better way of dealing of those signals, and then things will happen in a better way. So
I do plan and I don't plan much, you know. I think there's a really subtle and articulated fine line in between. Like, you know, for example, I do have a thought like, hey, you know, I want to plan a create meaningful workshop in this year. But I don't know when. I know it's going to be in Yunnan somewhere.
Yep.
So I have that thought. So I keep building on resources, asking people, connecting resources to that. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm so-called planning. But I don't have a rigid like deadline. It must happen between when and when, because I know for something to happen, sometimes it takes more than my own effort. In Chinese, we say 天时地利人和. I really want it to happen. But what I can control is really, really small chunk of it. Yeah. There are a lot of other things influencing whether this could happen or not. So what I will usually say is that I'll try my best within what I can control. Do my best and leave the rest. That's usually what I believe in these days. Once you are more relaxed and you are usually when you are more relaxed, you are more creative, you are more able to think of resources and people who can help you. When you're always tense and nervous, then your mind is narrowed and your learning system is not really functioning well, and you can't think of it's much harder to think of any other resources or people who could help you. So yeah, living at the present moment is what I've been practicing a lot these days. I told my friend yesterday, I said, oh, these days I usually think about if I really have somewhere I want to go, I might book a ticket today for a trip tomorrow if there's tickets available. And then I will go and find accommodation when I land there. And my friend's like, no, I can never do that. That would kill me. I need to plan. I was like, yeah, I know. I used to be like that. But the more you practice, trust the universe, trust in yourself, the more things will be okay for you. That's how I feel. But maybe this is not for everyone.
Yeah, but I think that's also a really good reminder for people that get used to plan everything. It's planning is everything, but plan is useless sometimes, because like nobody can plan when COVID happened. What will happen? Yeah, what we will do? Because before that, nobody have predict that that was going to happen. So I love that.
Yeah.
I love the like go with the flow style. And speaking of the digital nomad, is there? I guess most of your business is online, and are there any tools that you're using frequently besides Zoom or like other things? Like how do you use, what are the tools that you're using for maintaining your business, like as a digital,
you know,
nomad?
Like, yeah, great question. Coaching is a really asset light business, because most of the investment is not about, you know, renting the place, or you're like, you have to have a lot of equipment or manufacturing. It's very different.
Yeah.
And most of the investment goes to the coach itself. So I spend a lot of money investing on myself, learning coaching, different coaching programs, observing different coaching demos, and also following like some masters. And I get like one-on-one coaching. I need to pay for that. And I get supervisions and blah, 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 all that jazz. So that's where I spend most of my money on these days. But regarding the tools, I think, you know, I need clients to book time with me. So I use Calendly, as simple as that.
Yep.
And then we use Zoom or like any type of online video call software apps, you know, like Tencent Meetings or whatever. And whatever is convenient for the clients, I'll use that. And I use emails quite a bit because like we need to do coaching notes and summaries and coaching questions and all that jazz. So I use that as well. Other than that, I have a broken and old broken website which I haven't been updating for ages because I don't use it. Most of my clients are from referrals or they came from my WeChat official account these days. So yeah. I don't use that website a lot. Other than that, no, I don't even do much marketing either these days. So
That sounds like a perfect business for individuals to start with just a laptop and all the investment on yourself, so which you can bring everywhere. Like,
but I must say, you know, in a nutshell, I just need to bring a laptop and I could do everything online. And that's why my mom usually, she was really puzzled about my job. And because I wanted to go to Yunnan and she wants me to stay at home, you know, because I haven't been home for 8 years. And she's like, why don't you stay at home? And because you can do everything online, you just need your laptop and you can start, you know, doing your work. But I must say, it's still very different. Like staying at home and staying in Dali or stay in the nature, like the energy field is very different.
Yeah.
And my body can feel that.
Yeah. You need the environment to enable those feelings.
It would be nice. Yeah, it would be nice to keep myself in the more natural space area. So I can feel the energy around me is quite free. It's quite different. It's quite energetic. It's quite vibrant. So yes, investing myself to learn those coaching techniques and programs is important, but also actually it takes a lot of effort. I wouldn't say a lot of effort, but it takes some effort to keep myself in the working mold. Yeah. Like, so I can be fully present for my clients, so I can be my best for my clients. And that type of requirements is quite rare for other jobs I've heard of. For example, you know, if you are a product designer or you work like marketer or whatever, like you don't, like it's different. Like you don't always need to be in the nature. You don't always be to be in that particular certain shape or form to be able to give your best. That's how I felt. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good point of view, Chris. I think, if you think of digital nomad lifestyle as a possibility for everyone to work remotely, I think it can roughly divide it into two types of the work. One type is that you are a part of a large business and you provide the skill or capability is on get the job done. Like programmer, designer, marketer.
Yeah.
So basically, if the business is online, you can do what you can do it wherever you live, wherever you are. But the second types of the digital nomad lifestyle is work remoters are the people who need those scenario change, like need to change the scenarios to spark the inspiration. So like artists or like graphic designer coach and other types of the work that involves connection, interaction with people and need to connecting those dots together. So I think that would be another type.
I guess like most people will perform better when they are in a more pleasant environment, I guess. By the way, I'm not saying that my home is not pleasant. Mom, I'm sorry.
She's not listening.
It's just saying that because at home, it always feels different. And when I'm outside, I feel like much freer. And we don't have a lot of green near my house. That's another thing as well. We have some. We have a little mountain there. But it's different from Yunnan, Dali, and you know that you're from Yunnan.
Yeah.
I feel like people probably they can perform, that we always can perform better when we are in a more pleasant or natural open space environment. But there are some jobs which needs that a lot more than other type of jobs. And that's what I was talking, like for coaches, we probably need that more than, for example, I don't know, I, no offense, but like programmers or whatever.
Accountant.
Maybe they could do better math, like when they're in the net, in the forest, you never know.
Hope so. Cool. I think that's kind of like a lifestyle, which now became a trend since a few years ago, since COVID started. And before that, it's just a really small amount of people just go to live like this. So it would be
so
good to
see. These days.
I've
already known quite a few digital nomad hubs in China already, like in Yunnan, in Zhejiang, in even in Shanghai, Beijing, and in Hangzhou, there are quite a few digital nomad hubs these days.
So just never know, like the future is already here, just maybe still in not just go spread all out, but still like it's already here. So
Right. Definitely. I feel like in the future, like after the COVID, if the COVID finishes one day, I feel like a lot of things will be shifted fundamentally, especially how the employees collaborate with the company. If we are all able to work remotely, if there are more and more remote work opportunities comes up, I feel like the collaboration, the way of collaboration between the employees and company will be like USB, will be like USB type. You know, when there's a project, they plug in. Once the project finishes, they plug out.
There might be new problems and a lot of different possible issues will happen, especially about how to collaborate with different people remotely and online, offline. So which means that your business will thrive. Like coaching could be a...
Not sure it's a good or bad thing, but thank you.
Right. We already talked a lot, and thanks so much for sharing that. I think I just keep asking two questions for this podcast. Because I know that you have a lot of like experience on meditation and well-being and other topic, but that could be really good to discuss maybe in the future. Just two questions, like are there any things that you recommend or like inspired you, or currently you're reading or watching that inspire you, not only on the work perspective, but as a whole, like for Chao, like any books or courses or like movies, things like that, that you can recommend to the people who's listening?
Yep, sure. Well, there are so many. Where should I start? I feel like, you know, we briefly touched on my previous experience, and cancer was definitely a big highlight of it. Low light and highlight. I feel like when really there is something big hitting your life, then a lot of the things which we used to grab on or feel like so important before suddenly start challenging, questioning them. Like, what is really important for you? What kind of life do you want? We all know that we only live once, and we all have heard those wise words and whatever, but rarely it could really go and sink into your heart and manifest in your daily life. We know that we only live once, and then now I need to pay the mortgage. Great.
That's what I'm doing.
Which is not a bad thing, you know. We all have bills to pay, but I really wish that people could just even spend a little bit of time from time to time to ask ourselves, what am I doing? Like, why am I even living this life? What do I really want for my life? What can I really do for this world, in a sense? So I started that question about 12 years ago, because I had my first cancer. I had two times in total. So when I had my first cancer, I started searching for the answers. And there was one particular book which really helped me a lot. And I always, you know, every time when people ask me what books to recommend, I'll always say that book. Maybe it's not for everyone, or maybe it's not for any time of everyone. Like, it takes particular time. It takes particular timing and experience, and I would say even sometimes fate, to read that book. But if you can really have that destiny to connect with that book, and really, if it really resonates with you, then I think it could really change you in a fundamental way. The book is quite common. I think many people recommended it. It's called The Tibetan Living and Dying. Tibetan Living and Dying. 西藏生死书. Yeah. So that's quite a spiritual book. But you don't have to look at it in a spiritual way. You just pick and choose whatever works for you, whatever resonates with you. If you feel like the religious part is a bit too much for you, then you can take that away. But still, reading on the parts you feel like that's going to benefit you. And when I was reading the book, I feel the great sense of peace and calm went through my body. Sometimes even just by looking at my bookshelf, the book is there, I already feel at ease and calm. I feel like, oh, there's nothing, not a big deal. And whatever I'm facing at the moment, not a big deal. And I know that there is something grander, bigger than whatever I'm seeing right now in my life. And I'm possibly much bigger than I think. And when I say possibly here, I'm just saying in a humble way, because I do believe I'm much bigger than I think. Hopefully not the weight, but you know.
That's a great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, got it. That's so good. And I'm really, yeah, impressed about this, like this sharing, because the book, is that the same book that we are reading? Like, I also read that book, but that's just at a very early stage of my life, and just reading it as a kind of like adventure. Like, wow, that's so different scenario described.
Yeah, but yeah, there are people look at the world in such a different way, that type of thing. Yeah.
So now I a little bit understand, but that's really really a good a good experience that you have a larger sense of the feeling of the what is happening, and from a larger scale, not only from a personal moment.
I think for the same book, when you read it at different stage of your life, you always get different things from it. And I think that's one of the books I will certainly recommend. Another one is The Book of Life, 生命之书. I think that's also a pretty good one. And it's again very similar. It brings me a lot of presence and a lot of calmness.
Yep.
And a lot of the opinions, or the audience opinion, a lot of the things described in a book, I feel like it's, if we can really practice that in life, then possibly, you know, I will lose my job, but that's a good thing to see, you know. I hope one day I'll lose my job, like all the coaches, all the people are able to do some like self-coaching.
Yeah, that's like a dream world, that there's no problem for everyone to solve. Like, everyone
Will be problems, but you know, if we can use the coaching way, an effective way to communicate and resolve it, and we are curious, we are open to listen to what other people is really trying to say, then there's a lot more understanding and support and love nurturing between each other. That, I think, that will be a fabulous world.
Yeah. And you can finally retire after that. That's great.
Or can do something else.
Yeah,
who knows?
Can do something else. And one last question is, how to find you if people are listening who's interesting and might want to reach out or connect or know more about coaching?
All right. Yeah. Happy to email me. I think that's the best way because I check my email every day. And it's hello at lifepotentialnz.com because I'm from New Zealand. So it's hello at lifepotentialnz.com. You just spell life potential. And I'm happy to give you the email address and website and whatever you need to put in the show notes.
Yep. Yeah. I would put them on the show note. And yeah, that's.
Yeah. And my WeChat official account probably as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Chao. I think, yeah, that's I really enjoyed the conversation today and look forward to see when you'll come back to China, to Auckland. Well, I will, because we're planning to go back to China for a holiday.
Ooh,
but seems
nice.
So expensive right now, so probably not happen. Yeah, still like take too much money for doing that.
Oh, yeah, quarantine and everything.
As a family. Because as an individual, it's cheaper, but as a family, it's quite expensive. But yeah, I'll put all the things for the people who's listening on the show notes. And yeah, thanks for sharing and stay tuned for the next episode.
Thanks. So nice to chat to everyone today. Wish you all have a blissful day. Thank you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.